Reincarnated for Revenge. Chapter 501. Turn Yourself In. Cody was scared by how serious his boss sounded. What's going on? The group's not big, and we haven't been caught, so why suddenly am I supposed to turn myself in, you fool? Do you know who that woman with Daniel is? It's Callista. Ever heard of her? No. Fine, but you've heard of the Fairchild family, right? Callista is the wife of the Fairchild family's head. Why don't you just go kidnap the first lady? At that moment, Cody was struck dumb. His already pale face turned ashen, resembling that of a corpse in an instant. The Fairchild family. Did you hear me? Turn yourself in. Maybe they'll go easy on you since you helped find Callista. That's your only way out. Hurry up and surrender. Remember, don't you dare rat us out, or your folks back home will be starved to death. It took Cody a moment to grasp the gravity of the situation. He felt as though he had been thrown into a cold dungeon, unable to move. He really had the worst luck to have gotten involved with Daniel's shady business, sacrificing his entire life for a mere 100,000. However, he knew regret was futile. Instead of picking a fight with Daniel and exposing himself, it would be better if he called the police. He simply hoped that the bigwigs would consider his surrender and show leniency. Okay, I'll call the police. Upon hearing Cody's words, his boss finally felt at ease. Remember this. Don't betray the others, or else you'll die alone in prison with no one to claim your body. After Cody's boss finished speaking, he immediately hung up the phone. Judging by the situation, he might have even discarded the SIM card. Cody wore an expression of sorrow and anger, cursing resentfully under his breath. However, his actions didn't slow down in the slightest. He thought, since that bigwig seems to care so much about this woman, maybe I can demand an exchange. The woman's freedom for mine. I wonder if they'll agree. It doesn't sound too bad, actually. Maybe they'll want the woman enough to agree to my request hastily. When his train of thought ended there, he hastily called the police. Simultaneously, he cursed, just my luck. Why drag me into yourself, destruction? Drop dead. All of you. Just drop dead. Before he could press the dial button, he was suddenly knocked down by a stone. However, the person who threw it didn't have much strength, so while the hit stunned him, it didn't knock him unconscious. He was lying on the ground, his head covered in blood. As he lifted his head, he saw Quincy's somewhat distorted face. You're calling the police. She picked up his cell phone that had fallen to the ground, only to discover he was truly about to call the police. At that moment, her eyes were with a terrifying look. Cody was so stunned that he couldn't utter a single word, let alone call out for help. All he could do was watch as Quincy, holding a blood-stained rock, steadily approached him. Everyone's siding with that B*TCH. Everyone's out to get me. If that's the case, then you all might as well die fight. As Shikabche fiercely struck him on the head, Cody's head tilted, and he collapsed onto the ground, his condition unknown. Their commotion had caught Daniel's attention. When he came over, he was met with the sight of Quincy, covered in blood, and Cody lying motionless on the ground. He was taken aback, and his voice even faltered in surprise. "What are you doing?" Samuel went to check Cody's breath. His face turned pale, and he spoke with a trembling voice. "Daniel, he's dead. How could you kill him?" Daniel stared at Quincy in disbelief. Quincy returned his gaze with a look of disdain. "He was about to call the police, so I had no choice but to strike first. I'm not planning to wait for the cops to come and arrest us." She tossed the stone she had been holding, gazing at the Hundeman brothers with a stern look. "Besides, we've come this far. You should know how to proceed from here, right?" Daniel felt a chill in his heart. There's no need for her to kill him to avoid being reported to the police. What's more terrifying is that she has no hint of remorse after committing murder. She's only 20 years oldish, yet she's truly frightening. He couldn't help but feel nervous. I think I know the way. Quincy scoffed, "That's more like it. Right now, we're all in the same boat. If we get caught, it won't just be bad for me. It'll be bad for all of us. It's best if you wrap things up quickly, take the money, and run. That's the smart thing to do." Samuel asked, "When will you be giving us the money?" Quincy said, "Once Callista has arrived at the destination, I will call my people to send you the money. Besides, didn't I already give you a part of the deposit? Are you afraid I might run away?" "All right." Daniel glanced at Quincy, gritting his teeth fiercely. "First, we'll hide the body. Then, we'll leave immediately." Quincy was no fool and knew the gravity of the situation. She personally assisted them in hiding the body. However, when she returned to the tree, Callista had astonishingly disappeared. Left behind was a segment of rope that once bound Callista's legs. Callista exerted a great deal of effort, and managed to kick off the rope around her ankles. D**MNIT. She was pretending to sleep all along. Quincy cursed furiously. Meanwhile, Daniel felt a sense of relief. "Let me get this straight. It's not my fault. If you hadn't committed murder and drawn us all here, that woman wouldn't have had the chance to escape. We've done our best already. I won't demand $5 million, but you should at least give me $3 million. When Daniel spoke like that, Quincy was sent into a frenzy. "You won't help me find someone, but you're already thinking about money." She laughed at their naivete. "If Callista gets away and decides to take revenge on you, do you really think you can escape? If I were you, I'd make sure to catch Callista and hide her in some remote valley. That way, even if the Fairchild family catches up to us later, we'd still have a bargaining chip." Chapter 502. Hide in village. To be fair, Quincy's words made a lot of sense. If the brothers didn't even have Callista as a bargaining chip, even if they did obtain Quincy's money, they probably wouldn't be able to enjoy it for long. After all, if they were dead, then there was no point in doing anything else. With such thoughts, the two brothers momentarily set aside the matter of money. "All right, let's find her first. However, we're almost at our destination. There's a chance that Callista might have been found by the villagers. They're often out chopping wood and hunting. Just as Quincy was about to speak, she heard a group of people approaching. From the looks of it, they might have come looking for Callista. Samuel was greatly startled. No way. Despite how isolated it is, people have actually managed to find their way to Barbcrest Village. How long has it been? They must have flown here, right? What do we do now? Quincy was a bit panicked, completely lacking the ruthless determination she had when she had just killed someone. Daniel made a swift decision. First, let's hide in the village. When the time comes, we'll have the men from the village search Callista for us. These men act as if they've never seen a woman before. If I say that I'm offering Callista to them for free, they will definitely help us hide. Really? Quincy was somewhat uncertain. The police have already found their way here. Perhaps the villagers, afraid of causing trouble, may hand Callista over if they found her. Daniel let out a cruel laugh. You don't understand. These people are barely educated. They believe in the notion that individuals are held accountable for their own conduct. They treat human trafficking like livestock trading, so they a woman is some great offense on t think hiding only then did Quincy feel relieved. All right, let's hurry. The three individuals managed to the search party and stealthily infiltrated the village. As expected, when the villagers heard from Samuel that a woman was being offered to them for free, they all agreed to search for Callista. They pledged not to reveal the trio's whereabouts when the police arrived and even dispatched a large number of people to join the search. At that moment, Callista was rubbing the ropes tied around her body against a large tree. She had been too preoccupied with running to even think about untying the ropes that bound her. Since she was momentarily safe, she finally began to work on loosening the ropes. However, the rope was made of abrasion, resistant nylon. Having gone without sleep, food, or water for a day and a night, she was already drained of energy. Her attempts to fray the rope were half-hearted at best. At that point, she was desperate to encounter someone. Of all the people who had come looking for her, just meeting one would be enough. Just however, she didn't realize that she had just missed the people who had been sent to Barbcrest Village to find her. Just as her hands were scraped from the friction, with the rope showing no signs of damage, a man's voice and an hemorrhaged "Who are you?" The man also spotted Callista. Taken aback, he exclaimed in a dialect that she barely understood, "My goodness. I've never seen such a beautiful woman in all my life." Callista turned her back to him and asked, "Can you help me untick the rope?" Even though she had her back turned, her muscles were taut and ready. If anything went awry, she could still run. The him. Person's gaze faltered for a moment. Upon seeing her bound by ropes, a sudden realization struck, "Are you a runaway wife from another village?" He reasoned, as in their village, women were shared among the men. Since he had never seen Callista before, he thought she must have escaped from a different village. Callista knew the man was no good. Upon hearing his words, she dashed off into the depths of the jungle. However, she was at a disadvantage against the native mountain man whose movements were swift and sure. After all, she was in a thick, deserted forest, and her hands were tied, so she was quickly caught. His eager hands moved to touch her, but he was halted by a single piercing gaze from her. Do you know who I am? There are people searching for someone outside, and that someone is me. If you dare lay a hand on me, none of the people in your entire village will have a moment's peace. Although her face was pale, she exuded an overwhelming presence. She managed to stun the man on the spot. However, he then thought about something and chuckled endearingly. It's all right. I'll take you home and hide you. They won't be able to find you. Once those people leave, we can get married. Instantly, Callista recognized a crucial detail, which was that the people looking for her were already very close. Before Callista could think any further, she was swiftly taken down by the man, and eventually hidden in a cart used for transporting firewood. The man was no fool and was incredibly smart, threatening, "The women in our village are meant to be shared. If you're smart, you'll stay quiet. Otherwise, even I won't be able to save you." At that moment, a chill ran through Callista's heart. She never imagined her luck could be so dreadful, ending up in the hands of those people. What rotten luck! When Quincy arrived at the village, everyone stared at her with a peculiar gaze. She used to think that those mountain people were foolish and useless, but when she got there, she felt the terrifying pressure they imposed upon her. She was so scared that she hid behind Daniel, not daring to peek out. No sooner had they arrived than the police officers showed up. The lead police officer asked the village chief, "Bert, have any of you seen this woman before?" He presented a picture of Callista. Bert gathered all the men in the village, and each one of them claimed they had never seen her. The police officer frowned impatiently. "You better behave, understand? Don't think I'm unaware of your..." Chapter 503. All shook their heads. He spoke gravely, yet the mountain people paid him no mind. They thought, "Isn't she just a woman? Even if we find her, we won't hand her over. And even if we are discovered, these people won't execute us all over a single woman?" Thus, once again, they all shook their heads in unison. The police officer was slightly irked. He pulled out photographs of Quincy, the Hundeman brothers, and Cody. "Have any of you seen these individuals?" That time, everyone exchanged a subtle glance, then shook their heads, claiming they hadn't seen those people. In reality, those three individuals were in their secret cellar, a place absolutely untraceable by outsiders. The police didn't believe them, going from house to house, only to find that there were hardly any women in the village. The officers suspected that their targets had been hidden away, which instantly escalated their frustration. In the end, though the police thought mountain people were scum, they found nothing and had no choice but to leave. As soon as they left, the men in the village sprang into action. They had heard from Daniel that the woman who escaped was more beautiful than a fairy. If they found her, she would be theirs. Moreover, with so many people outside searching for a single person, their own search wouldn't seem out of place. News from all quarters came pouring in. No one knew where Daniel might have sold Callista because there were dozens of villages in that vast area. The area's guide, Cody, had also disappeared. Those who returned from visiting the various villages reported having no luck finding Callista. As Callum gazed at the expansive mountains before him, he felt a surge of anxiety. Callista had been missing for over 30 hours. It was a journey of over 10 hours by car from Horrington to the mountainous area. Yet, in the end, the news abruptly ceased. Thus, Callum thought he needed to change his way of thinking. He had the few human traffickers, who were mistakenly apprehended during that operation, be brought before him for a personal interrogation. They had already been interrogated once before, and had admitted to a number of things, but none of it was what he was looking for. However, when those individuals saw Callum, they all felt a chill in their hearts. Daniel had truly done them in. Not only had he ruined their originally stable business, but they had even gotten themselves caught up in the mess. They truly had no clue what Callum was up to. They were utterly in the dark. As their hearts quivered, they heard Callum ask a rather peculiar question. In this area's villages, which is the most remote, most backward, and most barbaric toward women? His question was truly odd. After all those villages were remote and backward, and the men there se villages were remote and backward, and the men there treated women with brutality and savagery. One of them, a sharp-minded individual, pondered seriously before speaking in an attempt to curry favor. Those people are devoid of humanity. However, the worst of them all is Barbarist Village. Most of the women taken there have been driven to madness. Callum shared the same thoughts as everyone else. Madwomen even do laundry or cook. Long as they could bear children, those people didn't care. Consequently, women who ended up there were abused. The obedient ones fared slightly better, but those who showed even the slightest hint of resistance were tormented to madness. The answer the human trafficker gave was both unexpected to and somehow anticipated by Callum. As he didn't elaborate on what he meant by the tormented, Callum could imagine what it was like. He scowled, not expecting that such lawless places existed in Chania. Deep down, he was afraid. Given Quincy's vicious nature, if Callie fell into her hands, she would surely be sold to the most dreadful of places. With that thought, he could no longer sit still, quickly issuing orders. Tell me the exact location of Barbcrest Village. Also, Ryder, get the plane ready. I'm leaving immediately. Callum acted swiftly, while Callista was also brought to the village by a mountain man. A fellow villager asked, "Toro, did you go out to chop wood again? By the way, while you were out there, did you come across a woman?" The man pushing Callista paused, quickly laughing as he said, "I didn't see anything. In the mountains, there's nothing besides birds. Why would I come across a woman?" The other person chuckled and said, "Your timing is impeccable. A group of police officers just left, looking for someone. Thankfully, they're gone. If they come a few more times, things will get unbearable." Toro hastily asked, "They left?" "Yeah," the other person responded with a laugh. "We've hidden their targets so well that they couldn't find anyone, not even the women or those three outsiders. They're all hiding in the cellar. I'll go and let them out now." Callista, hidden in the wagon, was taken aback. "Quincy's group arrived here first? What a twist of fate." Toro inquired, "Are the strangers human traffickers?" The other person smirked lecherously. "Apart from the two Mary, there's also a woman. You can tell at a glance she's not with them. You better get ready. Who knows, We might have a wonderful time soon. Toro speculated that the men in the village were surely interested in the female outsider. That was fine with him as it provided him with a cover. Thus, without further conversation, he took Callista back home. After returning, he securely closed the doors and windows. With a grin, he rubbed his hands together and lunged toward Callista. However, Callista managed to hold him off with her foot. "What are you doing? Now that you've returned with me, you're my wife. I'm warning you, if you dare to resist, I'll throw you out for all the men in the village to take turns with you." Despite being captivated by Callista's stunning beauty, he didn't truly want to intimidate her. To follow through with his threats. It was merely an attempt. Suddenly, Callista wore a somewhat wronged expression. "Don't hand me over. I'll be obedient, okay?" As she spoke, she withdrew her foot. Toro revealed a satisfied smile. Then, Callista added, "However, I haven't eaten anything for a few days. I'm nearly starving. Could you untick me so I can have something to cat?" Chapter 504. Get used to it immediately. Toro's brow furrowed in alertness. "What are you planning?" "Let me tell you, the people looking for you have already left, and they won't be coming back. You'd best not harbor any ill intentions. If you try to escape, you will be driven to madness. You won't want that, would you?" The look of fear on Callista's face intensified. Her starry eyes gazed at him as she voiced her apprehension timidly. "I'm not planning on running away. How about this? Give me something to eat, and let me stretch a bit for now. I'll let you tie me up again later. My hands have been bound for so long that they've gone numb. Even a deity would have been moved to compassion if they saw the pitiful look in her eyes. Additionally, all of Toro's villagers were outside. Even if he loosened the ropes, he assumed she wouldn't dare to run. Thus, he agreed. He pulled out some rather unappetizing bread and pickles from the cupboard, saying with embarrassment, "There isn't any other food in my home. If you crave meat, I'll fetch some for you tomorrow. However, life in the mountains is inherently tough, so you'll have to let go of your old habits and get used to it." Callista nodded haphazardly, looking as if she was starving. Toro had to exert a lot of effort to untie her because whoever had tied her up did a very thorough job. Not only was it tight, but it was also intricately looped from left to right, causing her beautiful hands to swell from the restricted blood flow. After loosening the ropes, he saw that Callista didn't move. That relieved him quite a bit as he thought she was properly afraid of him. Even if she were to misbehave again, he believed a few more punishments and a few more children would turn her obedient. Callista struggled to eat the bread and pickles. It was only then she found herself in a state of nonplussed realization, which was that she really had been spoiled. In the past, there wasn't anything she didn't eat. However, after living with Callum for 2 years, eating that kind of plain bread was like swallowing wood shavings, causing her throat to ache. The faint, stale smell was also nauseating. Despite that, she managed to keep a straight face and finished eating it, washing it down with 2 large cups of water. Seeing her not minding the hardships, Toro was happy. It was good that she could endure hardships. Although he admired her beauty and the aura of nobility around her, he had no intention of spoiling her. It was best to him if she was obedient, good at managing the household, beautiful, and generous. However, he wasn't sure if she was a virgin, which was something he cared somewhat about. He licked his lips, noticing that Callista had finished eating. He quickly spoke. "I'll tie you up, like we agreed. If you behave well, I'll be gentle with you. Understand?" Callista nodded fearfully. Seeing his lustful demeanor, she predicted that once he had tied her up again, he would definitely not give her another chance to say no. She obediently turned around to let Toro tie her up. Toro was tempted not to, but he was still worried she might run away, so he decided to tie her up anyway. As he lowered his head, Callista suddenly threw her head back with great force. Toro was pushed back 2 steps. In the next moment, Callista turned around and swiftly jabbed a needle into his neck. For 2 agonizing seconds, his entire body was paralyzed. He could only watch as Callista swiftly and forcefully slashed at his neck. After the first chop, he hadn't passed out. Callista struck him 2 more before he finally lost consciousness. Before he could catch his breath, Callista had tied the man up. While doing so, she searched Toro and discovered he didn't have any him with a piece of torn cloth, mycation devices on him. Left with no other option, Callista gagged him with a piece of torn cloth and shoved him under the bed. After all was done, Callista sat on the bed, gasping for breath. Having been through such a desperate plight and even drugged by someone, she could only say that her luck wasn't too bad, considering she had managed to knock out Toro. What now? She was utterly clueless about the situation outside the village. Furthermore, her strength hadn't fully returned. The drug she'd taken would have rendered an average person unconscious for 3 days and nights. If it weren't for her more robust constitution, she wouldn't have woken up that early. The best strategy, she believed, was to wait until nightfall. All she needed to do was to venture out, for she was confident that Callum was somewhere not too far away from her. Meanwhile, Quincy was also released. After Daniel had gone out for a bit, he returned and said, "Everyone outside is looking for us now. If we're not careful, we might spend the rest of our lives in jail. My brother and I have taken such a big risk, and you're only giving us a deposit of $500,000. Isn't that a bit unreasonable? What do you want?" Quincy was also in a state of disarray at the time. Hearing that, she anxiously said, "Callista hasn't been found yet, and you're already thinking about money." Daniel wore a look of dissatisfaction. "I've already got all the men in the village searching. What more do you want? Do you expect my brothers and I to just wait around? What if the police catch us first? Wouldn't I be at a great loss?" Quincy wore an expression of hesitation. Seeing that Daniel was getting a bit angry, she didn't dare to truly provoke him. Although she had already made it clear to her people that if anything happened to her, Daniel wouldn't receive a single penny, she was still afraid of offending him. She feared that if everyone parted ways, all her hardships would have been for nothing. Also, she still needed him to lead her out of such a perilous location. Thus, she said, "All right, I'll give you some more money, but it's agreed that you only get Callista is found. Otherwise, even if you kill me, you won't get a penny." Daniel furrowed his brows, seemingly deep in thought. How much more? How does 100,000 sound, the rest wants no way. He rejected it outright. Add 1,000,000. Otherwise, I won't spend a day with you. At worst, I'd rather not take the money at all. Chapter 505. Quincy is abandoned. At that moment, Quincy was both exhausted and anxious, her fear palpable. Hearing his words, she was in no position to argue. Fine. 1,000,000 it is. Daniel and Samuel exchanged glances, urging, hurry up. I want to see the money right now. Left with no choice, Quincy made a call. After going through a series of procedures to confirm that she was willingly making the payment, only then did her lawyer transfer the money into the account specified by Daniel. Quincy was always on guard about that. From the very beginning, she made it clear that if anything were to happen to her, all the money would go to her lawyer, and not a single cent would end up in anyone else's hands. Otherwise, the Hundeman brothers would not have tolerated her for so long. Upon seeing her transfer the money, Daniel quickly checked his account and found that the money had indeed arrived. Without any further pretense, he abruptly stood up. A sense of foreboding surfaced in Quincy's heart. Where are you going? Daniel roughly pushed her away. Of course we're going to run for our lives. Did you really think we'd risk our lives for money? Quincy suddenly realized the truth. You tricked me. You agreed to leave only after we found Callista. How could you do this? Daniel sneered, if you want to wait, wait alone. We won't keep you mpaining. Upon realizing that they were truly leaving, even foregoing the money, Quincy, then I'll go with you. Daniel remained silent while Samuel revealed a half smirk. Sentate the situation. Quincy suddenly took a fearful step back, expressing her disbelief. You're not planning to leave me here, are you? I'll have you know I'm a person of status. Status? Regardless of what your status is, now that you've offended the Fairchild family to death, you've essentially gone from having status to having no status. It must be said, Daniel was indeed quite clever. Quincy was genuinely terrified. The thought of those men in the village, who were filthy, ugly, and useless, sent shivers down her spine. She raised her voice, enough. All you want is money, right? I'll give you 1,000,000. Get me out of here. Upon seeing that Daniel was unmoved, Quincy became frantic. She grabbed him by the collar and exclaimed, 2,000,000. That's all it takes for you to get me out of here, isn't it? You want money, don't you? Isn't this amount enough? Regrettably, Daniel said, I genuinely want to take these 2,000,000, but I can't. I need the people in the village to cover my escape. They don't want anything else, not even money. They only want a woman. So, I ruthlessness you showed when killing, I won't dare to take you with me. You've already caused me enough trouble. Having said that, he turned around and left. No. Quincy had not anticipated things to unfold in that manner. Aren't these people notoriously greedy? Why did he refuse the money? I know, it must be because I'm not offering him enough. I'll raise the price. I'll give you another 3.5 million. That's all the cash I have. Take me with you. If they want women, I'll buy for them. As long as I can leave, I'll buy as many women as they want. With a huff, Daniel shook off her hand and stormed out. It was no longer about the money. It was about the fact that earning money didn't necessarily mean you'd live long enough to spend it. The brothers were unwittingly roped into Quincy's scheme, and not only did they fail to get the 5 million, but they had to fear for their lives. Their resentment toward Quincy was bone deep. When Quincy saw Daniel leave, she hastily gave chase. Just as she tried to, she was blocked by two burly men. They had previously maintained a facade of amiability, but at that moment, their gazes had become blatantly lecherous. The murky carnal desire they exhibited was utterly nauseating to her. The Hundeman brothers walked away without a backward glance, ignoring Quincy's desperate cries. They didn't even bother to turn their heads. Quincy knew she couldn't rely on them anymore and turned to plead with the two people in front of her. I have money. Can you let me go? I'll pay you later so that you can afford more women. The two individuals suddenly burst into lewd laughter. One of them, with a naive grin, said, "No way. The women we could buy won't be as beautiful as you. We're not trading." Quincy hastily responded, "No. I can find you a woman who's 100 times more beautiful than I am. If that doesn't work, you can always go for Callista. She's prettier than me. She's far more attractive than I am." Yet, those two men didn't care much about all that. "Once we've found her, she'll be ours, and you won't be able to escape too." As they spoke, they began to bind Quincy. Her screams echoed incessantly. Never before had she felt such regret. "I shouldn't have come here. I shouldn't have come." She was escorted by two men to the open space in the middle of the village. A massive bonfire blazed in the center, warming the somewhat chilly air. Quincy, on the other hand, was stripped bare and confined within a wooden cage meant for wild beasts. If it hadn't been for the fire, she would have surely frozen to death. However, even without the cold, she didn't want to stay a second longer. All the women had been sent back to their rooms, and the men who received the news gradually returned. They surrounded her outside the cage, their faces filled with lust. Their repulsive appearance and filthy bodies made Quincy feel nauseous at every turn. At that moment, she desperately hoped that the people who hadn't returned yet would capture Callista. As long as they caught her, the others, upon seeing that Callista was more beautiful than her, would surely shift their attention to Callista. She might even have a chance to escape. At least, that was what she believed. Chapter 506. Quincy in trouble. Thus, she shrank back in the cage, screaming out Callista's name in sheer terror, imploring her to come out. "Callista! Come out! I know you must be nearby. Show yourself." She clung to the wooden railing. Her appearance was haggard, her eyes wild. When Quincy's voice reached Callista's ears, the latter was solemnly sharpening a machete with a small grindstone. It might take her a while to regain her strength, and a single silver needle was hardly enough for self-defense. In other words, she needed a handy weapon if she was to escape from a camp of hundreds. Although Callista felt a certain sympathy for what was to come for Quincy as a woman, it could be argued that the latter brought her fate upon herself. Quincy had the audacity to get involved with human traffickers simply because she had a bit of courage. It was hard to determine whether to call her naively unaware of the dangers of the world or overly arrogant for assuming that everyone else was a fool compared to her. Nevertheless, Quincy was, after all, only 20 years old. It was pretty normal for her to act that way, especially considering that no one had guided her. Even if someone were to guide her, she would likely still insist on going her own way. Since she chose not to enjoy the comforts of a wealthy family and instead courted disaster, she couldn't blame anyone but herself for leaving her in the lurch. Upon hearing there was fresh meat, many villagers who were out seeking Callista immediately returned. Seeing Quincy's fair body curled up in the cage, they felt their blood boil with desire, their excitement surpassing even that of the New Year's festivities. The good that arrived this time is truly exquisite. I couldn't tell how great she was initially beneath the grime. I know, right? According to Daniel, this young lady is from a prestigious family. Apparently, she's an aristocrat who snuck out. Wow, I never thought I'd have a chance to be with a rich family's daughter in this lifetime. It's worth it. Who will this woman end up with in the end? Don't even think about it. She'll definitely belong to Chief. However, if you want to have fun with her in the future, just wait until Chief is not around, then take her to the forest for a ride. Upon hearing such words, Quincy felt a surge of despair so strong it made her contemplate ending her own life. There was no way she was going to allow herself to become the wife of the village chief, who had stained yellow teeth and was already in his late 40s. Well, the concept of a wife didn't exist there. Women were merely playthings to the men, and the more beautiful they were, the worse their fate. That was the destiny Quincy had originally planned for Callista, but she never imagined it would ultimately backfire on her. Quincy broke down into tears. At that moment, she missed Yelena terribly. She knew that Yelena would have done anything to save her. Her tears flowed more freely as she cried louder, and her sorrow became the crowd's amusement. In any case, if Quincy caused a fuss after being shared among the men, they would simply repeat the process, tormenting her until she was driven to madness. They took great pleasure in that process, especially knowing she was the daughter of a wealthy family. Usually, they wouldn't even get a chance to glance at someone like her, but at that moment, they could toy with her. Indeed, that year had turned out to be a good one for them. Seeing that most of the villagers had returned, Bert revealed a smile on his lean face, showing his black and yellow teeth. This woman was given to me by Daniel, but what's mine is everyone's. If you want to have fun, then let loose and enjoy yourselves today. As soon as he said that, all the men erupted in cheers. Amidst the noise, Quincy's cries were particularly distinct. Everyone was eager and ready, but the question became who should make the first move. Well, it would definitely be Bert. The mountain men might not have much, but they sure had strength. Even though Bert was in his 50s, he had no problem handling a young girl. Thus, everyone opened the cage to let Bert in. The moment the cage was opened, Quincy desperately tried to rush out. However, she was roughly pulled back by her hair by the men. Every woman who entered there had to go through that ordeal. The harsher they treated the women, the better. Only through such brutality would the women learn fear, eliminating any other fanciful thoughts and compelling them to live their lives obediently. Quincy's hair was roughly grabbed, causing tears to stream down her face immediately. She was kicked down by a man, and before she could even react, she was mercilessly assaulted. At that moment, she was so devastated that she couldn't even cry. The man's foul stench made her feel nauseous. "This isn't something I should have had to endure. It's all Callista's fault. If she hadn't escaped, I would have already fled abroad by now. It's all Callista's fault." Bert cursed, "D**MNIP. She's not a virgin anymore." Moreover, he moved a bit and voiced his dissatisfaction, "She has also gotten pretty loose." That being said, Quincy's youthful and beautiful appearance was still able to satisfy him, making him feel significantly younger. After a while, he ran out of energy, and, with a chuckle, he said, "Sweetheart, let's have a son. Once we have a son, I'll treat you to a feast." Quincy was crying and shaking her head simultaneously. She didn't want to stay there and bear a child for those detestable people. "Someone, save me." Upon hearing Quincy's sobs, Callista felt a slight tremor in her heart. After all, any normal person would feel uneasy witnessing such a scene. However, she was in a predicament herself and had no means to play the hero. Callista quietly slipped out of the room, seeking an escape. However, she was met with a sense of despair when she realized that the village was small, home to only a few dozen households, and it was circular in layout. The only exit was in Quincy's direction. She had contemplated climbing over the fence to escape, but when she arrived at the fence, she noticed it was covered in sharp spikes, designed to deter wild animals. Therefore, it was clearly impractical for her to exit that way. Chapter 507. Escaping the village. If the woman in the room were to discover her and call out, Callista would have nowhere to run. If she were found out, her fate would be the same as Quincy's at this moment. She didn't dare to take the risk, let alone gamble on the woman here helping her. Any woman who managed to survive in this place had either become an accomplice or lost her sanity. It was better to exit through the main entrance. It would provide an escape route in case of any unforeseen circumstances. Considering that all the men's attention was fixated on Quincy, Callista reckoned that if she were a bit more cautious, perhaps she could. With this thought in mind, Callista adjusted the clothes she had found in Toro's house. They were dull and unremarkable, but at least they weren't an eyesore. Then, Callista walked around the fence, all the while maintaining a heightened sense of alertness. She was worried about being discovered by the group of men and equally concerned about being spotted by any women who might scream out in alarm. Every minute, every second was filled with heart, stopping tension, especially accompanied by the chilling screams of Quincy, which sent shivers down one's spine. Why this time? Quincy had already been passed around by four or five men. They were all drawn to her ash beauty, none of them able to resist for long. However, they had left numerous scars on Quincy. Her R's had long since dried up, and she was spewing the most venomous curses at these men, and at Callista. Times, the man grew weary of hearing her and would silence her with a few harsh slaps. She would then ire not curse again, whimpering softly instead. Alista found the sight unbearable and chose to look away. She minimized her presence, repeatedly using stickles to advance. Given that every man's gaze was fixated on Quincy inside the cage, it took Callista if an hour to finally reach the entrance of the village. He was so close, so very close to making it out. If only she could reach the forest, she was certain she'd escape. She was just a hair's breadth away. That moment, in the throes of despair, Quincy turned her head, and there she saw Callista hiding behind Ock, seemingly trying to escape. But how could she allow that? He nearly lost control as she began to shout, "Callista is there! Callista is there! Quickly, grab her! She's tier than me, more entertaining than me. Go find her!" On hearing this, the village chief standing on the side immediately looked over. However, Callista had already started running with all her might even before Quincy could finish her sentence. And Callista took off, numerous men chased after her. Of course, there were still some who were rested in Quincy and chose to stay behind. Their turn would come soon enough, so they had no intention of joining in. Sta internally cursed her bad luck, her feet moving swiftly as she darted through the forest. Bands of men, familiar with the mountainous terrain, were in hot pursuit of her. Seeing her blindly run any direction, some took shortcuts. At that moment, a plane flew overhead, headed in the direction of the village. Callista looked up, but all she could see were the dense leaves rustling wildly in the wind, obscuring everything else from view. She hesitated for a moment, but the very next second, she chose to run without looking back. The people on the plane must have come looking for her, but if she were to be caught by the people behind her now, they would surely hide her in the mountains. In such a case, it was better to forego calling for help and to escape on her own. When Quincy caught sight of the airplane, she was overwhelmed with joy to the point of tears. In such a wild and uncivilized place, seeing a symbol of modern civilization felt close to her heart. The villagers had become anxious. Usually, they would receive a heads-up if someone planned to venture into the mountains for a search, allowing them to hide their women. But this sudden arrival from the sky, they simply had no time to prepare. At that moment, Callum was on the brink of losing his sanity. From above, he saw a woman, stripped bare, trapped inside a cage. She was being toyed with by a man, and surrounded by a crowd of onlookers. A wave of immense panic surged within him. Without a second thought, before he even jumped, he pulled out his gun, gritted his teeth, and fired a barrage of bullets below. Upon hearing the gunfire, the men scattered like startled animals. A few were injured, but none had died. When all the men had retreated, only a cage remained in place. As the plane drew closer, Callum suddenly let out a sigh of relief. He took in deep breaths, his heart rate slowing from a frantic pace back to normal in just a matter of seconds. Though it wasn't ethical, he was relieved that Callista wasn't the one in the cage. Quincy was desperately banging on the cage. When she saw it was Callum who jumped down, she was taken aback for a moment, then her cries grew even louder. Tears streamed down her face in torrents. "Mr. Callum! Mr. Callum, save me! I realize my mistake now. Mr. Callum, I beg you to save me. At the moment, Callum couldn't concern himself with much else. He headed straight for the village chief. Several people jumped off the plane, each brandishing a gun, and took control of the area. What on earth are you doing? The village chief mustered up his courage to confront Callum. Even though Callum's gaze made his legs tremble, he still managed to put on a brave front and blurt out his protest. How dare you harm my villagers? Who are you? Police. We are all ordinary citizens, what are you trying to do? Upon seeing Quincy being treated in such a harsh manner, Quintus felt a surge of indignation. Even though a part of him believed she deserved it, he couldn't help but voice out his anger. What you're doing is illegal. Who gave you the right to torment a woman like this? The thought of how many women might have fallen victim to them made Quintus' face flush with anger. Chapter 508. You are still lying. Upon hearing this, the village chief instantly became irate, raising his voice to exclaim, "She is a woman we purchased. She's ours now. We paid for her. No chance you're taking her away." After he finished speaking, a group of about a dozen men, armed with knives and axes, stepped forward from behind him. They had a determined look about them, ready to fight to the bitter end. At that moment, Callum wasn't in the mood to deal with such matters. He directly questioned the village chief, "Where is Callista?" The village chief's eyes darted around, contemplating. Many had already set out in pursuit of that woman, he was certain they would catch her sooner or later. When that time came, he planned to have them hide her in the mountains while he feigned ignorance on his end. Surely, they wouldn't dare lay a finger on him, would they? He had seen such spectacles many times before. In the past, whenever the police arrived with a show of force, as long as the entire village stood together, outsiders didn't dare to harm them. In fact, it was they who had left the police crying out in pain. They had even killed one before, and hadn't there been no repercussions? With this thought, his previously trembling legs steadied, and he felt a surge of confidence. "I've told you before, I have no clue about this Callista or whoever you're looking for. Didn't you send someone earlier today? If she's not here, she's not here. If you continue to bother us like this, we won't be so polite. We may be simple folk living in the mountains, but we do have our tempers." "Right." The villagers around him echoed in agreement. Seeing their obstinate and unyielding demeanor, Callum's patience had reached its limit. At that moment, Quincy suddenly cried out, "I know. I know. Mr. Callum, I'll tell you, as long as you rescue me." The villagers' expressions shifted, but at that moment, they didn't dare to take any action. Callum strode over to Quincy, fixing her with a stare as he demanded, "Speak up. Let me out." Quincy exclaimed loudly. With a wave of his hand, Callum released Quincy. Tearfully, she asked, "If I tell you, will you take me away?" Callum's fist clenched tightly in an instant. The hostility surging between his brows silenced Quincy, who had initially wanted a promise from him, leaving her unable to utter a single word. With her head bowed in fear, she caught sight of the foul, dirty liquid on her body. A surge of resentment welled up in her eyes as she spoke in a low voice. "I had captured Callista, but she escaped halfway. We lost her around the watershed. We searched for a long time but couldn't find her. We had no choice but to come here, hoping the villagers could help us search. Little did we expect they would. At this point, she began to sob. She looked up at Callum, her eyes filled with despair, and choked out. I know I deserve punishment. I'm willing to go to jail, as long as you take me away. Quincy's words elicited a variety of reactions from the villagers, their faces a mix of confusion and surprise. They didn't understand why Quincy would help them deceive others. Wasn't it strange? After all, they hadn't treated her well. Vet Che was still sneaking on their behalf. 08 You are still lying any it here all. When one was pushed to the brink, what else could they care about? Surely, preserving their life would be of utmost importance. Therefore, Quintus hastily said, Mr. Callum, I'll immediately take people to the watershed. Callum, however, stopped himself. He stared at Quincy as if he had never truly seen this woman before. He and Callista shared the same philosophy, live and let live. Furthermore, now that Callista's life was going smoothly, the resentment in her heart gradually faded. Aside from keeping Quincy down, Callista had no intention of completely eliminating her. He had always thought that Quincy was nothing more than a 20-year-old girl. Other girls her age were still studying, so how much trouble could she possibly cause, no matter how rebellious she was? However, Quincy was truly something else. It was as if she was rotten to the core, emanating a vile stench. It seemed as though her sole purpose in life was to hurt Callista. The fact that such a repulsive woman could exist was nothing short of a miracle. Where did you say Kalik was? He interrogated her, word by word, and Quincy, overwhelmed by his intensity, stepped back twice, lowering her head. Yet, she gritted her teeth and said, we got separated at the watershed. Before she could finish her sentence, Callum had lifted her off the ground by her neck. She slammed hard against the wooden cage, her body still bare. Her feet kicked out wildly, but Callum's grip only tightened. His eyes grew increasingly red, and there was a ferocity in his features that could tear a person apart. You're still lying. He was genuinely ready to throttle Quincy, roaring at her, you have the audacity to still lie through your teeth. Quincy initially thought she could get away with her half-truths and lies. However, to her surprise, she was exposed sooner than she expected. She had something to say, but she was so flustered that she couldn't utter a single word. Her face flushed a deep shade of red, her eyes rolled back in embarrassment. She felt like she was going to die from the humiliation. However, Callum didn't have much time to waste on this despicable woman. Suddenly, he let go of Quincy, pulled out his gun, and pointed it directly at the village chief. I'm giving you one last chance, is Callie here? He demanded. The village chief saw the ruthless way he had just treated Quincy, and it made him feel uneasy. Especially since Quincy was now on the ground, convulsing as if she was on the verge of death, it made him somewhat hesitant to speak. But, he thought of the dozens of people standing behind him. Could this person really dare to kill? Event if he refused to admit it, individuals were held accountable for their own conduct. Hence, he didn't believe this person would dare to harm him. So he said, "I have no clue. You might want to look elsewhere. The woman just now also mentioned that your Kalik is not here." Chapter 509. Chopped it off before he could finish his sentence, Callum interrupted him with a gunshot to the hand. The village chief fell to the ground with a horrific scream. The people behind him immediately assumed a confrontational stance, ready to fight the outsiders, and charged forward. Callum fired 5 consecutive shots, each one taking down a man by shattering their legs. The first one to approach didn't even get a chance to touch the hem of Callum's clothes before he collapsed to the ground. Before the others could even reach him, Callum had already drawn another gun. Upon witnessing his audacity to shoot and injure people, unlike the policemen they had encountered before, fear finally crept into their hearts. They were cowards who only acted tough when they outnumbered others. Meeting someone more ruthless than themselves, they were inevitably cowed. Seeing that things were going south, the village chief didn't dare mess with Callum anymore. He hastily said, I'll talk. In the next instant, he was forcefully hoisted from the ground by Callum. The village chief had never known that a person's gaze could hold such terror. The murderous intent in Callum's eyes was evidently clear. You, he wanted to beg Callum to spare him, but Callum only responded with a cold, mocking laugh. You want to speak now? Well, I don't want to hear it anymore. After Callum had spoken, he tossed the village chief onto the ground as if the latter were a ragged piece of cloth. He then coldly commanded, "Beat him, until he's barely breathing." Upon hearing this, Quintus and his companions immediately launched into a flurry of punches and kicks. The village chief's screams of agony instantly intimidated the previously aggressive troublemakers. They hastily dropped their weapons and raised their hands in surrender, crouching down in fear. "We were just discussing this. That woman escaped from our camp about 10 minutes ago. More than half of our men have gone after her. We believe they should be able to bring her back soon." "I'll make sure they bring her back." A man was kneeling at Callum's feet, pleading for mercy. Callum's heart suddenly ached intensely, forcing him to clutch his chest just to catch his breath. Had he really missed Callista? By just a mere 10 minutes or so. But now wasn't the time to wallow in discomfort. Gritting his teeth, Callum pulled out his phone and made a few calls. "Skull off this mountainous area. Anyone who attempts to hinder the search, show no mercy." As soon as he made the call, a dozen or so planes arrived. The mountainous area was sealed off, and not a single person was allowed in or out. Even though the area was still vast, it was much better than looking for a needle in a haystack like before. He couldn't afford to wait for news, so he led a group out, instructing those who remained in the village to do the same. Should they encounter fellow villagers, they were to inform them not to pursue any further. The more people chased after Callista, the more frightened she would become, leading her to flee even further. Which will he jit lurking in the mountains? Even if Callias had come, Chilla the wouldn't stand a opted off chance against them. At that moment, Callista was indeed in a state of panic, seeming to be lost. In a daze, it felt as though she was transported back to her previous life, a time when she was constantly on the run. Her extraordinary abilities, far from always being a blessing, could in fact bring about misfortune, especially when not matched with an appropriate status. This made every step she took even more challenging. At that moment, the sky began to drizzle, the droplets landing on the skin felt so chilling. A feeling of despair washed over her, but she quickly pulled herself together. Things were different now. She was not the same as before. Back then, she was alone, but not anymore. She knew that Callum must be somewhere nearby, perhaps desperately searching for her. But she couldn't stop, she didn't dare to stop. At that moment, suddenly, someone burst out from behind. He had taken a shortcut earlier, and even though Callista had intentionally changed her direction, she was still caught by him. He stood in front of Callista, looking quite pleased with himself. "Perfect. I found you first, so maybe the village chief will agree to let you become my wife." He didn't take Callista seriously at all. To him, she was just a woman, naturally no match for a man. He was confident that he could easily overpower her with just one hand. However, at that moment, Callista pulled out a curved knife used for chopping wood, holding it firmly with both hands. "Get lost." Her voice was slightly hoarse, yet her gaze was incredibly sharp. Her stance startled him for a moment, but he fancied himself an expert on women. He believed women were all show and no substance. Even if you handed her a knife, she wouldn't dare to use it. Just like his brother's purchased bride, who previously threatened to wipe out his whole family. After a few beatings, hadn't she fallen into line? Now, even with a kitchen knife in her hand, she wouldn't dare to step out of line, he chuckled, leaning toward Callista. "Little girl, put away your knife. I will take you to have some fun." While he was laughing, he was actually planning to snatch the knife from her hand. Callista, hearing the people chasing her getting closer, her gaze became increasingly fierce. The moment she saw him reach out, she didn't hesitate to strike down. The next second, a scream echoed. She didn't have time to glance at the severed hand lying on the ground, nor did she have time to worry about the fate of this individual. Seizing the opportunity while he was on the ground wailing in pain, clutching his wrist, she made a swift escape. The rain grew heavier, cleansing the blade she held in her hands, turning it a pristine white. The knife she had spent so long sharpening was finally proving its worth. At the same time, she was silently reassuring herself in her heart. If anyone else dared to stand in her way, she was ready to fight tooth and nail. D**MN. That woman had the audacity to hurt someone. The people who caught up were a bit infuriated upon seeing the man whose hand had been chopped off. That foolish woman. She had the chance to live comfortably, but she's squandering it. Well then, whoever catches her first, let him have his way with her. In the end, after enough times, she'll fall in love with whoever has his way with her anyway. When he said this, everyone agreed. Previously, when it was Quincy's turn, they had been watching from the back for a long time, and they were all frustrated. Unfortunately, the few oddballs in the village were as ugly as old witches, and nowhere near as charming as the two new arrivals. Chapter 510. Her footprints. Do they think she can escape after entering Barbarist Village? They are too naive. Asterisk finished. The rain grew heavier and heavier. Normally, there wouldn't be such heavy rain in winter, which made finding someone troublesome, especially on such cold days. Getting drenched in the rain made one extremely uncomfortable. Besides, it was getting dark. They wondered if they should give up the search. Some were discouraged, but others coveted Callista's beauty and insisted on finding her. She's a woman and can still run. Are we wimps? At this moment, one of them, the only one with a phone, received a call from the village. What? Go back. We haven't caught her yet. I took a glance at that woman, she's like a fairy. If we don't catch her now and she ends up in another village, we won't have a chance. Quintus was holding a gun at the man on the other end of the phone. In a trembling voice, he said, "Just come back first. Don't chase anymore." After the call had ended, the man fearfully said to Quintus, "They all listen to me, they will definitely come back. Can you, he didn't finish his sentence, but his meaning was clear. Could Quintus put the gun down? Quintus looked at the rain outside. Those people probably weren't used to hardship. It was already late at night, and they were still out in the rain looking for someone. He felt a bit less irritable. Remember, if they haven't returned in an hour, continue calling. Got it? Yes, absolutely. After the call ended, everyone around asked him, "What's going on? Why did they call us back?" Right, something must have happened. Should we still pursue them? The man with the phone thought for a moment and felt reluctant. A woman like the one who just escaped was a rare find. If she got away, he feared he'd never encounter another one like her again, so he gritted his teeth and said, "Here's the plan. You guys go back. Pippin, Bram, you come with me. She's been running for so long, she must be tired. With just a few of us, it's enough." Although others wanted to join the chase, the rain was quite a deterrent. So, they grumbled sourly, "When you find her, bring her back first, don't fool around outside. We know, we won't forget you guys." And so, the three men continued their pursuit, while Callista, hiding in the darkness, kept a close eye on the leader, or more precisely, on his phone. In reality, Callum had placed a tracker on her, even in her bracelet, ring, and even hairpin. But the person who tied her up initially was a professional and took away all those things. If she had that man's phone, she could just call Callum and wouldn't have to endure this hardship. Coupled with the rain, it was really irritating at this time, one of them said, "Look. Is this the woman's footprint?" In the mud, the footprint was very obvious. The leader said, "It looks like a woman's footprint. We don't have such small feet here. Let's search separately. She's been running for so long, the must be tired and might be hiding nearby to rest." The group split up. Afraid of alerting the woman, the leader turned off his flashlight. At this moment, he heard some faint noises behind him. Before he could turn around, Callista hit him on the head with a stone and knocked him out. She quickly searched him and finally found his phone. In that instant, Callista was ecstatic, but then she heard a man's voice behind her. "Bram. She's here." Without looking back, Callista ran forward, but she was indeed feeling a bit tired. However, the two men behind her were also exhausted. Both sides were like a tug of war, sprinting through the rainy mountains at night. Call him. Just give him a call. Luckily, she had an old, fashioned keypad phone, which was waterproof, so she didn't need to worry too much. While running, the called Callum. Almost instantly, the call was answered. Callie. Callum was going crazy. It was dark and raining, so the chances of finding her were slim, but this call gave him hope. It's me. Callista's panting voice immediately made Callum nervous. Are they chasing you? Don't be afraid, I'm coming now. Don't hang up. He handed Callista's phone to his subordinate, who immediately located Callista. However, because she was moving, the location was not real time and needed to be refreshed repeatedly. Hearing him say he would come, Callista finally calmed down. At this moment, one of the men behind her shouted, "Stop! Don't run! There are wild animals in the mountains, don't you care about your life?" Callista naturally wouldn't stop. She ran even faster, but at this moment, she suddenly slipped and fell into a pit. In a panic, she grabbed a small tree outside, but because of the rain, the soil under the plants loosened. She didn't have time to climb up holding onto the plant, and the soil collapsed, dragging her down. As Callista rolled down, a deafening roar came from the very close vicinity. What followed was continuous shaking, getting closer and closer, as if it was happening right beside her. Callista's heart sank. It was a mudslide. She might have a hard time seeing Callum for the last time.